I am going to come into that place and receive something. I'm going to receive your hospitality. I'm going to receive. Would you like something to drink? I hope so. I mean, I'm sure, of course you're going to do that. You're going to treat me right because you are the host. Why? Why are you the host? Because it's your house. This is where we've kind of missed it as a church. We've not taken ownership to a greater deal of understanding. This isn't my house. It's our house. This is our house. When somebody comes in your house, you want to be prepared. If I tell you I'm coming over to your house, I'm going to pop into on your house. I'm going to call you up and say I'm coming over. And just to let you see that I know what you'll do is you're like, Sam, pick up your underwear. You know? Hey, that's what my wife would do. They're not coming in right now. It ain't immaculate. You know what I mean? It's not perfect. You know, it's not, you know, ready. Yeah. Yeah, come back tomorrow. But no, she'd have to scrub everything, you know. But no, I mean, okay. But no, do you understand? There's something there in a sense where that we have this, that you do this sense where that you're like, you're coming over and you want to be ready. You want to have a prepared. You want to at least have something, maybe something to eat or whatever that thing is. But there's something that you have because it's yours. It's your house. It's you represent that, that you carry that. And this is what I mean by the church is that we cannot be as disciples. There's people that are going to come to church that don't understand the ownership of it. But disciples do. Disciples get it. What they know that this isn't Pastor Chris's house. This is my house. This is my house. And when people come, I represent Christ. And I know we joke, we say, I don't care what anybody thinks in a sense where that, but we do in a sense where we know that this is Jesus. This is what we represent, what people see. And I want you to know that we can't let our guard down. Is that my way?
I declined it. No.
Oh, okay, good. That we can't let our guard down. We have to be on our game. And I want you to see something. I want you to know that there was something pulled out of every one of you guys. Really was. Saturday night. And it blew me away. From all of you guys. That whether or not you knew it or not, you have so much to give. Okay? There's so much that comes out of your lives. And I seen it even more Saturday night. It touched me more than anything you could ever imagine. And I loved it because my wife did it like this. She didn't give anybody any time because it came from here. It came from your spirit. And there, you could have wrote something beautiful and something whatever, but what it is in your heart is even greater. And that meant the world to me. And I want you to know that, listen to me, that atmosphere right there is church. That atmosphere that was created by individuals, by river streams that came together to form this river of love as you partnered together and created something. Not me, you. I sat in a chair and did nothing. You created a river of flow for God's love and the expression of Christ's disciples to be expressed in the house. And that's so powerful. So when we begin to break this down and begin to see that that's what church is about. This is the connection that we're making here to understand that this isn't Pastor Chris's church. And I know that sometimes, we'll come in and we'll find, and there's going to be people that way. But I want you to know, to be a disciple, we're partners. We're something more than just he's the pastor, he has the word, you know, or this or that. But there's something more. I believe honestly in my heart that some of you right here sitting right in this place have words in you. Some of you are meant to maybe preach a sermon. Some of you are meant to be words of encouragement. I know you do that often. There's words of encouragement that comes out of your life prophetically or whatever those different areas are. And I want that to be something that's spontaneous, not something, someone told me one time
they told me, says, I said, hey, would you be willing to preach? And they said, yeah, just give me 2 weeks. And I never asked them again, because if I got to give you 2 weeks, you're not ready.
Yeah.
Because in my heart, when I'm ready to preach, I'm ready. Because it's in me as a preacher, as a minister of the word, to take the word that, yeah, would I be nervous? Absolutely. Bishop Clowers, one time, we were at a conference, and he says, hey, I really feel that God... I'm like, I don't feel that.
I lost. Like, not a bit.
And then he let me go through worship. You know what I mean? Like he did it before worship. So, thank God. Because at that moment, I was like, God, I surrender. Please. But at that moment, at that moment, God put something in my heart, and I preached, poof, the lights out, and it was God. You remember, yeah. And it was like, boom. You know, because why? It's in you. I'm MZ. You can sit right over here, slide over here if you want to, or wherever. You come over here, wherever. Yeah, you sit with Dan Kelly.
That's what happens when you come in late. You get called to the front of the class like we did.
Yeah, you got to come to the front of the class. Hey, I'm fine, Deborah. We have sickness and diseases. But my point was this, was there, and you say to yourself, oh man, I mean, and it doesn't mean that you're ready to have a whole page of a sermon, but what that means is there is a expression of Christ that is in you, a word that's in you that has come forth in your life during that day, during that week. And what you begin to do is you begin, and I want you to know that that just didn't come by, you know, just... I remember when I was younger, I used to have to prepare for... I would literally spend, you know, honestly, like 25 hours or more on a sermon. No lie. I, honest to God, I would spend like 8 hours on Saturday for Sunday morning. And that's a whole week. I'd end up almost 20 hours, 18 hours of spending time. But I wasn't ready. But that was what I needed, because I was beginning to understand the word, begin to build the word in my heart, begin to grab hold of it. Now, I don't have to do that. But I do spend time in the word. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I could just preach. I could just do it because it's in my heart. It just comes out of you. Because why? Because we've been discipled. It's Christ-like. And that's what he wants us to express. So it's important for us to understand that there was something expected as she read. There was something that he came... How to say it again, hon?
And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them.
These weren't ordinary people. Like I opened with, I said that they were called... The disciples, they called them Christians. And it was the first time that they called them. And what I was expressing was because they were Christ-like. They came up with that word because they looked like Christ. They were Christ. And they were the expression of Jesus, and that's the only word they could come up with. And so they expressed that they were Christians, but they were the disciples. There was something that came out of them. This man that came up to them expected something. Now, if people come to this church expecting something and don't get anything, they're going to quit expecting. Or if they could come here, that I want you to know that I cannot always perform. I cannot ever meet everybody's needs in this place. There's no possible way for me possibly to be able to do that. That's why Jesus made disciples. I can't meet the needs of everybody. I don't want to. I don't want that responsibility. Some pastors do, trust me. They want to be the Holy Spirit to people. Run if someone does that to you. Trust me. Trust me. Because to get out of that is hard. Because you trust that person more than you do the Holy Ghost, and that's really hard. And people like that because, tell you why, because it's easier. Because you have somebody to say, it's your fault, instead of saying, it's the Holy Spirit. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And when that man's wrong, you could point to that man and say, it was his fault. But I want you to understand that there's an expectation that should be created, that we needed as disciples begin to understand that there is something expected. So when people come here that, eventually, it's not just they expect the word from me, but they receive something from the disciples. They receive something here every week that will change their lives. And that is powerful. That man that came was expecting, and he got his answer. That's what we want church to be like. Amen? Amen. All right. Acts 5:12. Anybody can interrupt me, by the way, if you want to share something in your heart. 5:12. That has to do with this. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Liza.
She's still finding it.
I got it. Let me read this one. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs. Is that right? Yeah. There were many signs and wonders by the hands of the apostles, the disciples, wrought many among the people, and they were all in one accord on Solomon's porch. There were signs and there were wonders that came forth out of these disciples. That was something that followed. They came into an order. We have to understand that we're waiting for signs and wonders. We're waiting for these things to come. But the only way they come, so I want you to know that God is about order. He's about order. Line upon line, precept upon precept, concept upon concept. He is lining things up. God does not and will not do anything out of order. God does things in order. He has a set order that he does things. And it has to do with so many different things, but it has to do with a heart that is receptive, heart that's willing to hear, a heart that's willing to be obedient, to do the will. And in those midst, when we begin to line up that way, we begin to line up that way as being our heart saying that I understand what a disciple is. I understand that I'm part of something. Am I completely operating at? I want you to know that, listen, we're not going to completely operate as those disciples at first. Either did they. And I want to show you that. I want you to see this. These guys, every one of them failed. Except John. Why? I want you to know why he didn't miss it. Because he never took his eyes off Jesus. Never took his eyes off. He couldn't fail. He didn't fail. Because he did not take his eyes off Jesus. I want you to think about this and understand. I want to be at a place like John. That's where I want. That's what I aim for. That Christ-like that was in John that I can see. That after Christ, because I want you to know that he's a man just like us, men or women like us. But yet, he was so close to Jesus beyond everybody else. He was rested upon him. He was with him everywhere he went, touching him, so close to him. It just touches my heart, man. That's the first person I want to meet. I want to meet him. I want to just say, wow. And Jesus, of course, but I know him. I haven't met John. But I want you to see that and here's what I mean by this. Look at this. He entrusted John more than anybody else because he gave him his mother. When he was at the cross, he looked at John and he says, this is your mother. This is your mother. And John and Mary, they ministered together for years. He lived with her. She lived with him. He took care of her. See, Jesus entrusted him to honor his mother. Man, listen, I got to know that you love me to entrust you with my mother. I'm not just giving her up. I'm that's my mom. Mm-hmm. I'm holding on dear to her. And that's what Jesus did. He entrusted John to carry this. And I want you to know that John had the secrets of all the Word of God more than any other disciple because he wrote Revelations. And it was the revelation of Christ more than any other disciple had a grip on it. He had it. He unlocked things that none of the other disciples had. Listen, I want to be in a connection with him like that. That's what I want to aim for. Whether I get there, I get there. It doesn't matter. But that's what I'm aiming for. That type of discipleship. That kind of entrusting. They entrust me. And then he looked, before he ascended, he looked to John. He said, John, he says, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? I love you. Remember, John got a little bit frustrated because he's like, Are you questioning my love? No, he's trying to get his attention. If you love me, you'll feed my sheep. And we're going to dive into this just a little bit here to understand that doctrine, to understand what that was really reflecting for us as disciples to get a hold of. Because if we are going to be disciples, there's a cost that we pay that goes beyond our natural and has to be pulled from the Spirit. Thank you, Father. And this is what I'm going to talk to you. Acts 2, 42. I'm staying right here for a second. Is that all right, guys? Acts 2, 42. And let me see here. Okay, go ahead and read it. I'm going to break you up, though.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayer.
Okay. Now listen, I'm laying something out for you guys to just take hold of a disciple. And this is what he's saying. They took hold of the apostles' doctrine. Okay? They were holding on to the apostles' doctrine that was there, that was lined up upon them, that God gave them to carry, to take hold of, to give to the disciples. He says, this is my heart, translate it. This is my heart, translated. Take this. And they said they were breaking a bread. This speaks to us as of something that is connections. That we have this connection. And then he said prayer. I believe that prayer is so important for us on whatever degree we begin to work at it, but we work at that prayer, that we spend that time in prayer to some degree, that we begin to progress that way as disciples. Because I want you to know that some of my greatest, the messages, the visions and inspirations that I've got was in that prayer time. Was in those moments that I built an altar before God. Amen? Next, keep going.
And in fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Many wonders. There came a fear of every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And what happened? And all they believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions, their goods, they parted them to all men as every man needed. That's powerful. They were willing to give what they had to one another. Listen to me. And here's what I mean. You can't do this. You can't do this without abiding upon the doctrine. So I want you to know that God has placed it on my part that you have to trust, entrust in me to be able to take hold of the doctrine is the Word of God. But the expression that God has for this house right here, right now, and to take hold of that. And once we grab hold of that and begin to say, man, I want to follow that. I want to take hold of that. Not my ideas. Not my ideas. Not in a sense my plan, but the Word of God and the way that God has expressed it. And this is what I mean by this. Here's what it says in John 13:31. I'll read it real quick. This is the doctrine. Are you ready? Therefore, he was gone out. Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, he shall be glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, there's a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So something happened from there to Acts that they grabbed hold of something. Because why? They called them Christians. They didn't call them something else. They called them Christians. They didn't call them Antiochs. They called them Christians. Why? Because they took hold of the doctrine, the commandment, the expression that Jesus left them, love one another. So here's what I want you to understand. This is the basis for everything that God has established this place about. And I mean this with everything. I want you to get this. Say, what's our vision? Here it is right here. Love one another. Amen. It is the greatest thing that I have this passion and this in-depth within me to love the least. Love the people that lack and do nothing. Love them. You say, well, how can I do that? I'll show you how. Listen, I want you to see something. Before Jesus said this, he was betrayed by Judas. Right here. Right before this, you could read right ahead of this. Judas betrayed him. And after that, I want you to know that my natural, after I got betrayed, that's the last thing on my mind. Is talking about loving each other. Betrayed the way that he was betrayed in front of all his disciples. There was something there, but he said this: love one another. Love one another. Now, I don't believe those disciples even knew that Judas did that till the end, till after it happened.
Yeah.
But, so Jesus was dealing with something even that they didn't even know about. He didn't say, hey, Judas is going to betray me. You know what I mean? Try to defend himself. But he was wrong. Blah, blah, blah. No. Love. Love Judas. Love Judas. And then all of a sudden, here's Peter standing there saying, I'll never do this. Blah, 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 blah. Peter was going to deny him too. He ran. The only one to stay was John. One. On his way to die. On his way to be beaten. On his way to be wrecked. Put to his death. Spent. Whipped. And he said, love one another. That guy that's beating me, I want you guys to love him. I want you to love. His chance for life is for you to love him. His chance to live is for you to love him. Do you get that? That's what we're about. And I want you to know that before we ever could go on, before we ever go from this Father, whether you come back to another one again, is this. That's the doctrine. And if we can't live by it, we can't be disciples. We have no right, because that's the doctrine. And that's the order that God flows out of, is love. I want you to know that some people say, yeah, but there's... No, no. We got to get out of the buts. There is no but. Yeah, but this person did this. No. We can't be that way. God will deal with that. God will bring us, once we love that person, done everything we can, then God will put it in our hearts. Trust me. He'll put our hearts at that place where it's time, whatever it is, to whether or not we got to, you know, talk to that person, or that person has to be, you know, whether we do it 100 times, 50 times, or one times, whatever. There's different times. I have dealt with people different times. My tolerance level for different situations. But it has to be a place from prayer, praying about that situation, knowing what God has to say, not what I want to say about it. But I want you to know my foundation. It has to be love, and I have to love them no matter what. I can't let it be based upon whether I got hurt, whether I got this, whether or not they, you know what they did to this person. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I have to love them. That's the hardest thing for us to grab hold of, to get. But I want you to know that's our foundation. We start with that. And I'm not talking about, y'all know I'm not talking about being abused. I'm not talking about that. You could love somebody and not like what they do. You're not accepting that person or what they're doing for what they're doing. By no means. Because we use the example of Christ, where we see that Jesus said this. He told the husband to love your wife like Christ loved the church.
He gave his life.
He gave his life. And I want you to see something. That husbands, love your wife. That your wives are to honor their husbands. Now, I want you to know, they're not supposed to honor. They're supposed to honor the Christ. Not abusiveness. If that husband's abusive, that the honor part of it goes out the window if they're not Christ-like. If they represent Jesus, you honor that. Respect that. Take hold of that. Because if he's Christ-like, he's going to die for you. See how it goes hand in hand? He's going to die. So what would you do? I'm going to honor him. I'm going to honor him. So I want you to get this and know, and I want you to get it from me. That I will love. Some people say, oh, he's kind of soft. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care. I don't accept things that are wrong. Sin, sin. Y'all know that. But it doesn't change my love. It will not change my love. I will love, 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 love. I won't be abused, but I will love. Are people going to get hurt along the way because we love? Yeah. Look at Jesus. That's what I look at. Everybody left him. Everybody. I want you to know that there's moments. I'm telling you, when he sat in that at that place where he was sitting there and he was weeping, I want you to know that that thing, those people that he spent 3.5 years with, spending pouring everything that he had into them, they're gone. They're about ready to run. He didn't stop them. He kept going. Listen, this is our foundation that we have to stand on. If anything I say here tonight, today, I want you to get that, to know that that's our doctrine. It's love. There's some people that are, honestly, that I can say, hard to love. But I want you to know it's making me Christ-like. Loving them. It's making me Christ-like. I'm learning to be Christ-like that way. That I'm loving them, no matter what. Amen? Acts 6. You okay, buddy?
Yeah, just got it.
All right, bud.
Cool verse.
Acts 1. 6:1, I'm sorry. 6. 1 through 7. I'm going to read this here because I want you to see this. And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. I want you to know that, listen, there's always murmuring. There's always murmuring. That's why our foundation has to be love. Because you want to grab a whip. Sometimes it's the people that complain the most that do nothing. That aren't participating. Listen, those are the biggest backstabbers that backstab me. The people that never participated. People that have not been here for services after services. It's those people that are the ones that are dedicated like that, that I don't hear that from. They get it. It's the ones that miss this and this and that, aren't committed to it, that are going to tear it down. See, but what we did, we want to say, I do want to say those things, but let me lead by example. Let me lead by example. We don't say them. You say, well, sometimes you need to say what... No, you don't. No, you don't need to say what you think. Because trust me, you don't. You don't. Because it isn't worth it. Is it worth it? Now, there's some times where that, like I said, like when I had that opportunity for that person that said that to me, when they said, you got to give me 2 weeks, I said, it's 2 months. Is 2 months better for you? Maybe I'll let you preach in 6 months. You can do the Christmas service. Because someone said that to me. They were like, just give me 2 week notice. So, well, then you're not ready to preach. But I didn't say that. Because I was like, well, if I said it, didn't matter. Because they weren't ready anyways. They had to be at a place where that they're able to get it. All right. So, but there was ministration, there was grumbling. They said that they were neglecting some things. And I want you to know that, listen to me, there are murmurings, but I want you to know it's how we deal with it. They dealt with it in love, because there are murmurings sometimes. There are things sometimes that people do take notice. So we as the church, we hear it. We hear it, and we don't always disregard it. But we hear it, and we say, let's bring it to attention. Let's bring it to an attention. Let's bring it to the pastor. Let's do it together. Let's deal with this together. Let's figure this out together. Let's kind of fix this situation. And that's what they did. Like right here, right now, that there were some things they were missing. You can't do everything for everybody, but they were missing something. They took the negative that was coming and they glorified God with it. Because it was coming after them. They were missing the mark in some degree. And they said, okay, we are missing his. And listen, here's what they did. And he says, and the 12 called a multitude, the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, it is not reason that we should leave our word of God and serve tables. Now, somebody said, well, wait, what are you, so you're talking about that these were here. This is where we get sometimes. This is what pastors do. They get this. Well, we're to be in the word, and you're to wait the tables. Like there's a, do you see this? Honestly.
Like the class system.
Yeah, there's a class, and it's very wrong. It's, this is not. Now, I want to show you why it's wrong. All right? Because you're going to get this. They were graced in different measure. Okay? God will sometimes gift somebody with a passion or some put something in their heart for that moment, for that time, for a different office. Okay? Like God's graced me to handle the pressure of a church like this. Okay? Now, someone else that might get it, if they're not graced in that area, they might give up or they might quit or they might, I'm done. You know what I mean? When you have church and you have 12 people on Wednesday night or you know what I mean? They might say, well, I'm done. No, I'm going to come out every Wednesday and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're doing it. Why? Because I'm graced. I have that grace in me, that God measure of what God's given me to operate in. Okay. So it has nothing to do with class. Now, I want us to get this. Doesn't mean, well, I'm a disciple, or then you're this, or I'm the pastor, and you're this. Now, I was told that one time, where that literally, it said, I'm here, and you're here. And that was one time I didn't shut my mouth, because I said, you don't have to show me. You make me feel that way. And I want you to get this. And the reason why I told you this, my disciples, I want you to see this. Because it's what I felt. I want you to feel with me that even though I'm graced to hear from God and to pull in a different area, we're at the same level. Yeah.
The Bible says we're all one body. We all can't be an eye.
Yeah.
We all can't be a hand. We all do different things, and we're all graced different ways.
And you can't. Here's what we've got, though, and this is what's really messed up, is that hierarchy has taken that level, and the church has suffered so much because of it. It has suffered so badly because of that expression. Now, listen, I want you to see this. And it says, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God. It sounds harsh, but it's not, because you're going to get this. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, key, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over what?
This business.
What business? His business. This is a business, in a sense, from that part. What is it? It is our Father's, Heavenly Father's business. It is His business that He has delegated to us to operate in. This is the business, my Father's business. I'm participating in my Father's business. Man, just take that in, man. What a responsibility. Am I representing Him? They come in. I want you to know that we not lack that everywhere. You go in a store, and you know what I mean? And that's sometimes when I'm in a different place where that, if I see that expression of somebody, when you go into a store and they treat you or they'll say, you know, I mean, that's hard. I have a hard time with that. When you go in there and you come into there and they you know, they might have a bad day. I get that. But the way they treat you represents the company, represents that business. Whether they, you know, realize it or not, they do. And the way that you treat me, first thing I think of is McDonald's or dollar store or whatever that is. Not that person, but what they represent. They carry something heavy. That's what we carry. Because with the way that they see you act is the way they think I act. I mean it. The way they see you act to them is the way that it flows right down from the pulpit. So I say this, and I could say this, and no, I want you to treat people the way I treat them. If you treat, see me treat somebody a wrong way that you it, it shocks you, get my attention. I give you the authority to say something to me. Okay? Because I'm willing to say to you, I want you to treat people the way that God, the way that I've experienced, the way that I love people, the way that I feel that love for people. All right, listen. And he says, full of wisdom, holy, appoint this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give our, there's a, that, see, they were operating in that level. See, the enemy wants to come in and take up all my time operating in different areas that I'm not graced for. Listen, that I'm not graced for. He wants to use up my time. He wants to pull me away in different areas. Honestly, I believe that I want to give you guys a place where sometimes where that you're counseling. You're counseling people. You're sharing with married couples. That I say, hey, Randy, Melissa, you know, or Dan and Kelly, or Michelle and Sam, go. And Ryan and Jane, go and counsel them. Share with them. I want you to be at a place where that your expression, see, I see things higher. See, and that you be that expression. Do you see what I'm saying? That I'm not carrying that weight. That I don't have to be there. That I could be at that moment waiting on a word, waiting for a direction for the church, for the operation of the church. But we've spun tires so much. We've spun tires. I know so many pastors that do everything like that. They do all that stuff. I don't want to. And there's something within me that says, I don't want to do all that stuff. Why? Because God put it on my heart. I'm not supposed to. And it's hard. Why? Because I'm doing things I shouldn't have to do. But I have to. Because I need to. Because we're not all there yet. You know what I'm saying? I want to be able to be at that place where they say, here, take this. Go feed my sheep. Feed them. Church is meant to be operated by disciples. Not just one pastor. And we can see this in the Word. Listen, here's why I want you to get this. And he says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. Something within them said, wow, yeah, yeah, wow. They're delegating something here. And it says, saying, please, he says, and they chose Stephen. And listen, I want you to get this. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parnabas, Nicholas, a proselyte. Nicholas was a proselyte. He was one that was a stranger that came in. He wasn't like everybody else. He wasn't raised the same way. They threw that in there. Let you know, these weren't all the same category. He was different. And they were of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And the word of the Lord increased, and the word of God increased. Immediately. Listen, something happened. We could be happy with just, oh, Pastor Chris gives a word, we get out of here. I'm not. I'm not happy that way. I'm not happy just preaching a sermon. I don't live to preach that. I live for this. That we grow up and move out, take it, and you begin to get a word for somebody. You begin to express this. You begin to do this. And the word of God increases where? In you. That word increases in us. We become Christians. Mm-hmm. We become Christians, Christ-like, disciples. That's what really we are to be. So he says them, he tells them to go do this. He says, I want you to go. He says, to take these disciples. He says, they begin to go out and they begin to express, they begin to do the little things. Remember what they were doing. He says, listen. And he says, they were doing the business. They were doing the business of the church. Listen. I want you to know that it flows down. They began to operate under the order that God had for them. And as they did, it increased. Even what they had. They began to operate in that minuscule thing of serving tables. Listen. What tables? Of the Father's house. It was their house. This isn't Pastor Chris's house. It's my house. My dad gave me this house to take care of. So here they are, and I want you to see, listen, and it says, and it increased. He says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great Oh, let me read this. And the word of God increased in the number of the disciples multitude. They multitude. Why? Because this one shifted. And this. Boom. That one went in this area. I want you to know that, listen, as I begin to, maybe I begin to shift in my area, then all of a sudden that leaves room for what? Someone to step into that place. And then you step up. You give somebody room to step into your place. See, if we're not stepping forward, this year was called momentum. That we're not meant just to stand. We're meant to move. To move in momentum. We're meant to go beyond that. Why? Because I need to give my space up for somebody else. I cannot hold on to what I have. Listen, I remember I was a drummer. I loved it. I loved it more than anything else. I mean it. I loved it more than anything else. I loved it so much. And then my pastor told me to teach this young man. I taught him. And then he says, okay, let him do it. No. I really had a hard time. I was like, wait a minute. I love doing this thing. I know, but it's time for you to step out and let him step in. I don't feel that either. And he said to me, he says, you got to be willing to give up your Isaac. You got to be willing to sacrifice your Isaac. That thing that you love more than anything. You got to be willing to sacrifice. You got to be willing to say, sometimes it's fears. Sometimes it's like failing that you might feel like you might miss or this or that. But I want you to give it up. And I remember I felt the same way whenever I was a youth leader and I was asked to give that up. And it was hard. I mentored somebody and put him in that place, and I stepped out. But I was learning something. I was learning that it wasn't mine. That I was just being about the Father's house. I was just doing his business. Whatever that is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not mine. Who am I to say, well, that's my place. That's my thing. No. And if some of you guys end up becoming greater preachers than me, I will be in the front row and I will be applauding and amening you more than anybody else. And you've seen me amen people that sat in my pulpit. I'm the biggest amener. Am I?
Yes.
And I want you to get it. I want you to know that that's the heart that we have to project with it. Listen, I'm going to help you fill that my place. That's mentoring. That's discipling. That's taking that person that you got this place. If we're not mentoring somebody in some degree, to some degree, sharing somebody, just spending time with them, whatever. There's different levels of discipleship, too. We're going to learn from that, too. But I'm saying there's different places where that I need to bring somebody to that place. I need to get somebody to that place where that they could take that place, where that they can get in that position, where that they could fill that void I have. Because I want you to know that if I'm not here or if you're not here, I said this a long time ago, that if I don't have to call the pastor, if you don't have to call the pastor, don't get offended. Please don't get mad. If I don't have to call the pastor and tell him I'm not coming, I'm not doing something. If I don't have to tell him that I'm not going to be there, I'm missing it. I don't say that in a bad way, trust me, but I want us to just get it to know that that means that I'm not doing a service. I'm not doing a part. This isn't my house. In a degree it is, but it isn't. Now, it doesn't take anything away from people that just, I'm not saying that. And I love them as much as I do the ones that are doing something. But I'm just trying to make a point. I have to be at a place where I recognize, not in a cocky way, but they need me there. They should. Because you're valuable. It'd be like me saying, I really don't need my right hand. No. We need a part somewhere to fit. Okay? I'm done. I told you I'd be done at 7:30. 2 minutes. You ready? And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles. This is the guy that served tables. And I want you to know that it just said serve tables. It was kind of making it seem like, no. The guy that served the tables was doing miracles. He was doing miracles. He was laying hands on people while he was serving the table. While he was serving. Because why? There was something within him that was bursting out of him. He fell in line. He began to operate in the power of what God had. He began to fall in that discipleship pattern. and just being obedient and doing what God's serving in that area. And he was doing miracles. He was doing miracles. And listen, and it says, and they arose a certain synagogue. And here, and it goes again, and they begin to talk about Stephen. I don't know the timeline that it took, but I want you to know that Stephen was stoned to death. I want you to see this. This is the guy that took the garbage out. You think that he's that valuable that they got to get him off the scene? He's a garbage man. That's how valuable he was. Didn't matter what job he was doing. He had an expression of God that they could not handle. They could not take it. The people that didn't like the Christians, the ones that came against him, they stoned him. Why? He was that much of an expression of Jesus. He was. And when he looked up, who did he see? Jesus. He wasn't alone in that stoning. There was no fear in him. Jesus was right there. Saying, this is my servant. This is him. You filled the void. You are. And because of that, others hated you because of it. I want you to know that others might not, they might not see that. You will cause others to say, I want that. And they're really close with Pastor Chris. I want that. I want that. They're really close with one another. Not like we're a club or we're the disciples. I've seen that too. You know, we tattooed on our arm. Disciples. We wear certain clothing or something. You know. No. Listen. Yeah. Josh, they got trucks. Listen, and here's what I want you to see. This is Jesus. They had to pay somebody, Judas, to identify Jesus. What does that mean? They paid somebody. Take us to show us who he is. Because they couldn't see the difference because he looked just like those. He didn't wear some fancy robe or some fancy crown or like what some people express, that he had all this fancy garments, whatever, this expensive robe. Or I don't even know where they get that in the Bible.
The image we typically see of Jesus in Hollywood,
because
he stood out in the crowd and he was taller and better looking.
Yeah, better,
and, you know, no,
he wasn't like at all. They said he was average looking.
Yeah.
He was average looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yet they had to identify him because he was just like, he acted like just everybody else. He was just with everybody else, just like no one would see. Listen, I honestly, that I hope that people come in this place and say, where's the pastor? And I've had people say that. Which one's the pastor? I love that. I don't have to have anybody know that, oh, no, he's up there, the guy with the, you know, twist of that. Listen, I'm so self-conscious. I was like, I don't wear jewelry. And I wore this, and my daughter says, wow, you look like some type of, like a religious leader. That's the last thing I want to look at. It's like, no, I don't mean it in a bad way. Like someone that might be at a wedding, like, and I'm like, a priest? Well, yeah, but Dad, but it's cool. Like, I want to take it off now because you made me feel like I'm like, you know, like
a really big one now.
Yeah, like a really big one. You know what I mean? But I was like, oh, I just thought it looked nice. I didn't wear it. Somebody bought it for me, and I felt bad that I don't wear it enough. You know what I mean? But my brother bought me this. I don't wear jewelry, but you know, some of my brother's saying something. McKenny, he buys me jewelry all the time. It's kind of funny, but no. Just thought about that. Andy's a four. No. Listen, they were about the affairs of the church. They were about the affairs of the church. That we have love and excellence for each other, for one another, that we get each other back. This says every need was met. And I want you to know that, listen, I believe that it begins right here at meeting one another's needs here. See, if we learn to meet one another's and be attentive to one another's needs here as disciples, then we're going to be more attentive to them. That's the way it happens. That you begin to become one and knit together, and all of a sudden, this unity together begins to be an expression that flows out. It flows out. And it can do only thing, one thing, but flow out. It ain't contained, it flows out. It comes out. It flows out of you. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for, to be that expression of Christ, to be Christians. I don't want you ever looking at that word again and think, man, Christian. That's a disciple. They live that doctrine, love. And they will know that you're my disciples for your love with one another. They'll know. How else will they know? Your love for each other. Continue to love one another. So what I want to do is just, I want to begin to build this depth of understanding and begin to put channels in for every one of you guys to find your place to begin to operate in whatever area it is. But there is business to do here. There's things that honestly in your heart, just ask God. Say, God, Lord, where can I fill in? There's some things I don't have to tell you to do. I'm just saying, I don't always have to tell people to do this. Sometimes there's 2 minutes to take somebody to do something, or sometimes it's whatever the simplest things are to do, because it's our church. I mean, if I walk in, and I don't know how many times, this hasn't happened recently, but if I walk in and there'll be something laying on the ground and it's after church, that means that everybody that walked through the doors walked past that piece of garbage. I'm just saying that those little things matter to me. Those little things that, you know, whether it is the toilet or whether little things, those things matter to me. You know, there was a little mildew over there. It drove me crazy. I had to wipe that off that chair. Because somebody come in and it's like, what do they think of us? These dirtbags. You all right? I did walk over a bat. And everybody
was,
there was a bat right in the middle of the entrance. Like, we walked into the entrance of the church, and I'm like, I've never seen
this. Like,
guys, there's a bat right here.
This bat over here?
I walked right past it. I've never seen it at all, man. Listen. So we're going to meet together in a month. We're going to meet together in a month again. And I want you guys to put it in your hearts. I want you guys to just wait on God. Just, you know, just to see things that maybe I could, can I fill this void? And I might say, well, not yet. Don't get mad.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever that thing is. Or, you know what, honestly, I might feel something in you that you don't feel, and I might ask you to do something. Don't get scared. I'm not kidding. Listen, here's what I'm saying. I want everybody to know that not everybody's a preacher, not everybody's a singer, not everybody's a this or that. Trust me. I know when it is. If I come to you to say, would you do this? It really has to know it's from God. Okay? I mean it. So I'm not going
to
ask
you.
What's that?
You're making
a joke. Sorry. No, we fill this place. But you know what? God takes us out. God takes the most ordinary people. He takes ordinary people just like me. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm just an ordinary guy, man. I'm not nothing special. I'm just a guy that just wants to follow the order that God has. And I want you to know that I'm spending time to find our place. Is the way God wants us to operate as a church. Not just ordinary church, but as a body, as vibrant, live, that people are excited to be here. And they're excited to be here because of you. God told me, when I was in Disney, and you all know this story, when I was in Disney, the atmosphere that was created, it wasn't the rides, it wasn't the buildings, it wasn't anything else. I just stood. I said, what is it? And I really felt God would put in my heart that it was the people. Because they took the business of Walt Disney. Took his heart. Make this the most amazing place in the world. They took his heart. He discipled them. They go through training. I've not had one person in Disney ever treat me bad. Ever. Happiest place on earth. You walk down the street, they're just, they have to jump out and tell you hello.
Yeah.
All right? I stuck a happy birthday sign on me, my birthday, and it wasn't even my birthday just because I wanted attention. Everybody and their brother, everybody, I mean, literally they would jump out of their booths to come say, happy birthday, thank you. But my point is this, is I felt something.
Oh, my God.
But this is in the world. This is in the world.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was on my way home in the plane, and I just looked at my wife and said, I want church to be like Disney. And my wife's like,
huh? If we could capture that atmosphere in church.
If we could have that, if we could create that. Yeah.
So you're telling me you can become dressed as Mickey Mouse.
If God tells you to, yeah.
Goofy.
Yeah. But literally when I came home, a week later I walked into a service and Brian Pistol was there. First time I've ever met him in my life. And he prophesied all this over me. And he walked away four times and he kept coming back. He says, man, you might think I'm a weirdo after I say this, but I just got to say what God's telling me. And he's told me the first moment he walked in here, this is what God told me. He said that your church is going to be like Disney. And I literally hit the floor crying because that's what I was like, God, you know, those moments that, that you know that that's what God's leading you to. That's what God's bringing you to. Some people might not get that, but I do. Because I want people walking and feel like they're on top of the world. That they have all this crap going on. They got all those pains. They got everything out there, but they come here, and then they realize, wow, I don't have to just have this here, but I can bring it home. Mm-hmm. We're discipling people, whether they know it or not. Mm-hmm. We're creating something that they don't even realize being created. We're doing it. We are doing it. So that's what I pray. So just, I ask you guys just to open your hearts and be ready next week and or for a month from now. And I don't want to take time. And I want you to just pray for one another. All right? I just want you to pray for one another. I want you to pray for these groups that are right here. Start here. Pray for one another. Pray for each other. Pray for God's direction for me and my wife that lead us in the right direction for the church. And I believe it's important. Amen. Momentum. Amen. We're going to end strong. We're going to end strong. You know why we're going to end strong? Because I have you. I have you. I mean that. And, man, I feel this power of God just pushing behind me as I look and see you guys. It means the world to me. I mean that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Randy, would you end in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've had together, Lord. I pray that you would guide each and every one of us, Lord, as we seek to be more like you, Lord, and we pursue this path of discipleship to make our church, Lord, a place where, as Pastor Chris said, people would feel the atmosphere of like Disney, Lord, that they're coming in and everyone is so nice to them and so welcoming, and they just feel such love, Lord, because we're all striving to become more like you.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you would give each of us that heart, Lord, to strive to be more like you and to search our hearts in our daily lives, Lord, to how we can become more of that whole image, Lord, within the church, that when people walk in, they will see you, not us individually, Lord, but as a whole, they will see you, Lord, and that atmosphere will be so welcoming that they won't be able to stay away. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do. Just pray that you bless each of us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. Listen, you have, and I say this, I want you guys just to really hear me. My wife and I, our phone is always open to you. I mean that. Don't not call. You got a question on the Bible? Please call me. I mean, I'm graced to disciple that way. Okay? I'm graced to do that. All right? Grace to, because why? Because you are filling places. You're stepping up in that place. I'm graced to do that. And God will fill that with me because I can be expression to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you.